On air, online, on demand, from New York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are. Happy Friday to you on this sixth day of April 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. I have some very distressing news. I just hate to break the news to you, but somebody has to. Congressman Blake Fahrenthold, the man in the ducky pajamas, has resigned from Congress. What are we going to do without Congressman Ducky Pajama Fahrenthold holding office? Yeah, he has resigned today. He's a Republican from Corpus Christi, Texas. And he said in a statement, "While I planned on serving out the remainder of my term in Congress, I know in my heart it's time for me to move along." No kidding. "And look for new ways to serve." No, look for new ways to rip off the taxpayer. He previously announced his retirement in December. Moved to create an open seat, so they've got people running for his seat. So if he, I guess this was a whole big deal about whether he would last until May or not, because then if he waited, then the governor would call a special election to fill the seat, and then that person would serve until January of 2019. So that's apparently that's the deal. The other way it would have been if he had stayed until May, they would have appointed somebody, I think, until 2020. So he kind of said, "Forget it, I'm throwing in the towel." He's the guy. He was sued alleging gender discrimination, sexual harassment, and a hostile work environment. Everybody agreed to drop the case. Terms of the settlement were not clear. Last year, Politico reported that the little-known Office of Compliance had covered an $84,000 settlement to his former communication director, Lauren Green. He pledged to reimburse the federal government for the settlement costs, but so far, we're still waiting for the, and we're going to keep waiting. So, yeah, I don't know. Remember there was a photo of him with a woman in, what was it, like lingerie, or I forget what it was. Anyway, it was pretty inappropriate. And this woman is in skimpy lingerie, and Blake Fahrenthold is in pajamas with rubber ducky photos all over it. I don't know what was going on. I did not want to ask. Did not want to pursue the details on that. So poor old Blake Fahrenthold is no longer a congressman as of right now. Now, see, they're kind of protected too, aren't they? Members of Congress work for the people. They don't work for Congress. But you can throw them out if you don't like what they're doing. But they don't have a union. They don't have anybody protecting them. You get caught with some woman in lingerie and you're in your rubber ducky pajamas, there's a good chance that your job is going to be terminated. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Brenda in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Hello, Brenda.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had to call because listening to your last male caller just kind of set me off. Listen, social workers and people like me, we go into homes, we go into communities, we go into schools. We don't have anybody to protect us.
Nope.
There is no union for us at
nope.
all.
Nope, nope, nope. And if I may compliment you on thank you for what you do, because it's extremely important. And the challenges that you're faced with, you're not dealing with functional families. You're dealing with dysfunctional, and God bless you.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, No,
but we have nobody protecting us at all. I mean, there's nobody. It's just us. If they want to walk in and, you know, fire you, you have no legal recourse. And let's be honest with you, the Board of Labor Relations, I mean, here in Pennsylvania, I can only talk about, you know, like workman comp. I mean, trust me, we get screwed on every level, and right. We don't get good pay. We don't get tenure. The more longer you work when you're 50, like I got injured, I'm half disabled now because of my job. I loved my kiddos. I loved the families I worked with, but there's no recourse for me. I don't have tenure, and I don't have anything to retire on except what I put away.
I think we all respect and admire teachers. Most of them. Not all of them. Absolutely. Most of them. But why do they get this special little blanket put around them that nobody else gets in the world? Nobody. Why is it?
Oh, they only work 9 months out of the year.
Yeah, I know, but...
I mean, they get paid vacation.
Here's the deal. I mean, it's one of those things where I've often thought, well, they should be paid a lot more. We think they're pretty important in what they do. They're creating, helping build the next generation of citizens. But if you want to be protected from everything in the world, you're not going to be able to ask for a lot of money. If you want to put yourself out there and say, I'm good, I know what I'm doing, and I'm confident the fact that I will be able to make a livelihood out of whatever it is that I do, then you're taking a bigger risk. You should make a bigger reward. You should get paid more. More risk, more reward. I mean, if anybody's really taking a risk, it's the police and the fire. And we are paying them pretty good too. I still have a gripe about some of their pensions. I think they're too rich, but we admire what they do. But states are going broke trying to keep up with these pension obligations, pension promises that were made in some labor negotiation 20 years ago that's now coming home to roost because these people are retiring. States can't afford them.
Well, not only that, we're facing right now in my city, we're facing our school district is trying to force us into redoing our high school at the tune of $88 million.
Does it need redoing?
We're a small, poor town, and we can't do it.
Does it need redoing?
We're in debt every year. I mean, don't know what the answer is, but, I mean, it's got to come to some kind of head, too.
Well, if it's really easy to spend other people's money. It's really simple.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yep. Let them fork out some money for redoing the school and see what they come up with. I mean, you have to make it so that it's safe. You got to make it so that the kids can go and study, but you don't need a Taj Mahal, that's for sure. I don't know.
Oh, that's exactly what you want, too.
Of course they do. It's other people's money. Brenda, thank you. I do sincerely believe that what you do is your angels out there in social work. Thank you for the call. Suma, San Francisco. Hi, Suma. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Tom. Hi.
Welcome.
Well, I was listening to your callers, and did you want to go ahead and ask? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Did I want to what? No, I wanted to hear
did
what you have
to
say.
Did you want to ask me something? I didn't mean
no.
to interrupt.
No, I don't want
to
ask you anything.
Yeah, I was listening to the last... Alrighty. Last couple of callers and the gentleman who was talking about unions, you were flustering him because you were bringing in, as he said, apples and oranges all mixed up together, totally illogical. He's talking about teachers who have done not only graduate work but postgraduate work in order to teach, and they really don't get going until they have taught 5, 6, 7, 10 years, 15. Many of these people have taught 20 years. Now they get the hang of it. And you are talking about, hey, we don't need people to protect us, but comparing them to a shoe salesman. That's ridiculous. We've all been shoe salesmen in our lifetime. We've all had entry-level jobs. There's no comparison.
Okay.
First of all, it is that.
First of all,
it is not a good thing.
Let's go back. I have postgraduate degrees as well. And if it took me 15 years to figure out how to do what I do, I would have been fired. You better get in here. Yes, yes, you're young. Yes, you're inexperienced. But you better get the hang of it long before 15 years.
The real big difference in what you are talking about and what I am talking about is that you don't have 30, 35 kids looking at you every single day. You answer to them. You answer to them 8 hours a day. And you answer to their parents as well.
Good.
You don't have all a total about 100, and if you work in middle school or high school, 150 or 200 students.
Let me ask you something. I was in the investment business for a long time. I had clients that I had to look at, and they looked at me, and I had to answer to them, and they were my customers, and they were the ones who paid me to help them with their investments, and you darn well better believe that they were looking at me and looking at me closely to make sure that I did not lose their money for them. So kids looking at you, fine.
It's unlike any other job I've ever had. Any other job, and believe you me, I have had the gambit.
Okay, all right, but why are they so protected? Why are they so protected?
Yeah, you know,
all of us have customers and clients and patients and others that look at us and require our skills, and that's all that we should do with the teachers, the same exact deal.
You're painting it with a very wide brush, and it's an incorrect brush, to tell you the truth, right there. Number one.
Why would it be incorrect?
You're saying, we don't have protection, why should you? That's the wrong stance. You should say, everybody needs a negotiating tool. Everybody needs protection.
You are, Suma.
Have the upper hand.
Suma, you are making the argument as a socialist. If you want to live in a socialist country, your arguments would work well.
Because we have socialism in this country. Look at Social Security.
We've got too much socialism in this country. But that's not how this country was formed. That's not how we grew. And I don't want this country to turn into a socialist country. If you want to live in a socialist country, your arguments, everybody would be going, yes, Suma, you're so right. But in this world, the reason why America is the best country in the world is because of the fact that we don't have a lot of social protections. And I'm sorry, if you're worth your salt, if you're good at what you do, you don't need somebody to protect you. You are living on your own merits, your own skills. Got to take a break. I'm lost at the disconnect.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Well, what can I say other than a big thank you to Kevin Beauregard? Kevin found the photo of Congressman Blake Fahrenthold in his ducky pajamas with some woman in it's safe for work, but barely safe for work, lingerie. And so we posted it on our Facebook page it's such a loss that he resigned today. Facebook page, facebook.com/Tom Sullivan Show. It's just a great photo. It's just photos say 1,000 words. All right. So, Suma, we ran out of time. I just don't know what to say. I mean, I no matter what she said, no matter what Rick said earlier in the hour, they keep saying, well, but teachers are different. Teachers are different. Teachers have children looking at them. Well, I got customers. I've got clients. You've got customers. You've got anybody. It doesn't matter if you own your own business or not. If you're an employee at a company, you got your boss looking at you. And you do a good job, no problem. You're good. There are people that go to work every day and don't have any problems. But somehow teachers need to have a special protection. And I got a tweet from Natomas One who says, by the way, last time I looked, police were protected by their union. Not when I was wearing a badge, but I understand most of them are. And I would not like it. Judge me on my ability as a police officer. judge me on my ability as a firefighter. I don't need a union. Doty says, this is sad on many levels. You must have looked at the photo of Blake Farenthold. Oh, Carol, thanks for waiting. Hi, Carol. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Carol.
I have one that's graduated college, and yes. I have one that's in junior high now.
Yes.
And what I found from the very beginning is that the accountability is lacking. Teachers can stay year after year, and there's no measurement of how well they're doing. There used to be a test here in California that you had to pass in order to the exit exam in order to leave high school. Well, they did away with that because kids couldn't pass it. So it's the part that gets me is that, no, they should not be protected in any way. It's a profession just like any other. And if you don't show results in your profession, then they should be able to get rid of you. And that, they can't get rid of a lot of these teachers.
Lawyers, doctors, engineers, CPAs, none of them. They have to perform or they lose their position. That's all it is.
Exactly. Exactly. And I support my child's school. I have every school they've attended. I paid through the nose for a UC for my daughter to go to. There should be accountability, but in all honesty, I hear the entitlement. You can hear the entitlement, and these are from the instructors of our young.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Asuma indicated that she was. Yeah, she was in the teaching business. She's in education. Entitlement's funny because Margaret sent me a tweet just now, says, happy Friday. I believe the word you're looking for is disconnect and entitlement. Exactly what you're talking
about.
Exactly. Why?
Yep. Why? There's this air of I don't know. It's a mindset that I have personally come up against that I don't understand. I expect to give results and performance in my profession, and I expect that in every other profession I come up against.
Well, you've got two children that have gone through a number of years. Yeah, I've met with all of my children's teachers. I've never found them to be unusual or demanding. They're just nice people doing a good job. I don't have a problem. Why is it that is it the unions that have infected their belief that they cannot survive without this protection? I think it is.
I honestly think there has been a slow creep of that mentality into that profession. I personally have been very fortunate. I've come up against a handful that quietly will tell you, you cannot believe how bad the system is within itself. Other teachers trying to get rid of or make the environment difficult for, like any job.
A bad teacher makes all teachers look bad, and that's with any profession. I got to run, but Carol, thank you.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Here we are, world. Just looking over the jobs numbers. Today's the first Friday of the month. And so along comes a jobs report, and, there's just no way to sugarcoat this, talking about jobs. I think it's 6% of the workforce the private workforce is unionized. The total number is 13% because you have to add in most government employees are union-protected jobs. They should be the least protected. I mean, they should not have any reason for a union, but they do. All right, so the forecast was that March was not going to be all that great. We had a very strong February. 320,000 payrolls added in February. So they said, well, that was, I don't know, that might be an outlier, 320,000. So they said, March? Let's estimate we add everything up, divide by four, multiply times 10. 185,000 jobs is what we're thinking. Didn't even come close. Only 103,000 payrolls were added last month. Only 103,000. And I am surprised at all the happy talk business reporters out there that are saying, well, it was 103,000 jobs were added, you know, it wasn't great, but this was lousy. This was terrible. So I don't mean to be I guess I'm just in one of my moods today, but I'm going, where's this booming economy? Where is it? If you can only produce 103,000 jobs, payrolls, in a month, that's pretty bad. That's pretty lousy. So I'm going, I'm still waiting for, I feel like I'm the only guy that's shouting about this, but I'm looking at the numbers and I'm going, I don't quite understand why these numbers are not looked upon as really bad. Really bad. So one of the reasons given, Maria Bartiromo was talking about this on Fox Business earlier this morning. Do cut to Andy. This is, she admits the job numbers are low, but she says a lot of it has to do with bad weather.
On the jobs number, look, it was weaker than expected, Sandra. 103,000 was obviously below the 193,000 that we were expecting. But there are some good things here. I mean, you did see manufacturing jobs go up, and you see an unemployment rate at 4.1%, which is virtually full employment. I will say this. Remember all of the snow that we had. The weather was a factor. Construction jobs were down and retail jobs were down. That speaks right to the fact that we had weather issues in this quarter as well. But no doubt, things have slowed a bit.
All right. I saw Maria when she did that, and I wanted to call her up and say, Maria, it snows every March. It's called winter. I am always at a loss when people blame weather. Because I could see if it was a big snowstorm in July, wow, that's different. But we had snowstorms in March. It's called winter. And Bureau of Labor Statistics, that's where she lifted this from, because the BLS said 159,000 Americans were unable to work due to weather. Well, yeah, but not the whole country. Not the whole country. I know the you know, Minnesota, hello, Michigan, yes, Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio Valley, the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, we all got a bunch of snow in the month of March. Okay. The only place that I saw that shut down because of weather was Washington, D.C. They do. They shut down the whole town when there's going to be 2 inches of snow. So that is the excuse, and I think it is a terrible excuse. But that's my editorial opinion. BLS, I don't know where they came up with 159,000 people that couldn't go to work because of snow. Labor force participation rate. That's always been a big deal in the last decade. It declined just a little bit. It went from 63% down to 62.9%. Number of people not in the labor force, 95 million. That's up 300,000 from the previous month. And then you get to the almighty number that I look to, especially since the tax cut deal. And I heard one Republican analyst say, was asked about this earlier today, and said, well, not everybody has had the impact of the tax cuts yet. Hello, this is April 6th. Yeah, you have. The tax withholding tables were changed February 1st. So, before February 1st. So why would you not be having more money from your paycheck? You should. But when you look at average hourly earnings up 0.3% month over month, or annualized 2.7%. 2.7%. Last month it was 2.6%. So basically, it's the same. So my puzzlement with this report is, if the tax cut was signed by the president right before Christmas, and in January they hustled around to get the new withholding tables, and so by the end of January the withholding tables were ready to go, so you had less withheld from your checks come February 1st. So most of us have seen a little bit more in our wallets. The question then is, why are you not running around to the shopping malls spending your money? Why is consumer spending, which drives two-thirds of the economic engine, been mediocre at best? Because you got a little bit more money. You didn't get a lot more money, but still, your little bit of money and my little bit of money and your neighbor's little bit of money adds up to a whole lot of money should have been going into the economy. And we're not seeing it, so I don't know what you're doing with your money. Maybe you had Christmas bills to pay. Maybe the credit card bill was a little high and you had to pay that thing down. I don't know. All I'm telling you is, I'm giving you just the straight facts here. I'm not sugarcoating this. I'm not dumping on it. I'm just telling you, 103,000 payrolls is pretty lousy. Annual 2.7% average hourly earning increase is nothing to write home to mom about. This is not going to get the economy really kicked into high gear. Maria was right. Manufacturing, great. Up 22,000. Most of all of that gain was in durable goods. Durable goods are things that are supposed to last 3 years or longer. You got everything from Boeing aircraft to washers and dryers. And we already have, talking about the trade war, before the president made a big announcement about steel and all that with China, a month before that, he's put a tariff on people importing washers and dryers. So maybe there was a positive impact in manufacturing durable goods in the month of March. Employment in fabricated metal products increased, up 9,000. So manufacturing, pretty good. Healthcare matched it, up 22,000, pretty much in line with its average monthly gain over the last year. Mining, up by 9,000. So the support that the president has shown for mining, showing up in more employment. Mining employment has gone up 78,000 since a recent low back in October of 2016, just before the president came into office. So what do you make of these apples? We'll be right back.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Looking at a photo that's on my Twitter feed, there's a big crowd at General McMaster's last day on the job. I didn't know. I thought he was already gone. Anyway, his last day on the job is today, and he left a little early. Mark him down. Ding him. Ding him for those last 2 hours. But he's leaving the White House, and there's a photo, and I saw the video of it earlier. I mean, there's a huge crowd outside the White House cheering and clapping for General McMaster as he's leaving the White House. Oh, those people are going to be in trouble. There's photos. You see that guy? I don't think he'll last much longer. No, they gave him a very nice send-off today. So General McMaster out at the White House talking about jobs. So when it comes to jobs, I mean, Maria talked about 4.1% unemployment rate. It held steady. The actual sign of health in the job market is an unemployment rate that starts to creep up a little bit, because that says that people are out looking for a job. But she made the point, and it's true, 4.1% unemployment is pretty much full employment. It's awfully hard. People changing jobs, coming and going, turnover, all kinds of different things. You can't get much lower than 4.1%. So whatever it is, the unemployment rate right now really is pretty meaningless. But when I talk about average hourly earnings, and I'm talking about 2.7% growth annualized of earnings, what that equates to in dollars and cents is 8 cents an hour. So the average hourly earnings went up 8 cents. And that's why I look at this, and I'm waiting to see if something will start to catch on here. I don't know why, with the extra money that I know is in people's pockets, and it adds up to significant amounts of money, why people are not booming the economy. And people keep saying, oh, the economy's booming. I don't see it. And it's not just from my little place in the country. I just look at the statistics and I go, I don't see it. It's growing, but it's growing at about the same rate that it grew the last 4 years under Obama. And we're kind of stuck. We're in some sort of morass here, and it would not come alive under Obama. And I and others blamed it on a lot of President Obama's anti-business policies, in my opinion. So you figure you get the most pro-business president we've seen in our lifetimes, that this would really come alive. So I guess it goes back as well to when the tax bill passed. And it was a big deal that they got a tax bill passed, because Congress could not do much. And they got that done, and it got to the president, and he signed it. But I told you at the time, and I'm not trying to play political games on these economics reports. I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I went, this is nice, but I don't see how this is going to turn the jet engines on regarding the economy. The only part of it that should have done that was the drop in corporate tax rates. That was significant. I mean significant. So we're looking at, where is that money going? What are corporations doing with it? And a lot of them are buying back their own shares. A lot of them are investing in plant and equipment, and that means, in many cases, robots. And some have given bonuses, and those bonuses have made a lot of news. But I the numbers that I've seen, I don't have them in front of me, but it's nowhere near a majority of companies gave out bonuses. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, I don't know if we are going to really turn on the you know, go from a pilot light to where the flames are really going on these jobs. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Kevin, thanks for waiting. Welcome. Hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Hi.
You just mentioned 4.1 unemployment. Hi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that stat include people on disability?
No, because they're not looking for jobs. It includes people that have looked. They ask the question. They say, "Hey, Kevin, are you looking? Are you employed? No. Are you looking for a job? Yes. Okay, we count you as being in the workforce looking. And if you say, no, I haven't looked for a job this last week, how about in the last year? If you say yes within the last year, you get counted in. After a year for the long-term unemployed, they don't get counted anymore.
What do you think that's – any idea of what that percent would be, Tom? What percent of the people in the United States of America are on disability?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. There was a lot of people that shifted over to that when they ran out of unemployment benefits. You know, they needed something.
About 30? 30? 30%?
I don't think it's that high. I don't think it's that high. There's a guy who does calculate that long-term unemployment. I want to say the long-term unemployment number is somewhere around 20, 21, 22 max. But that's still a lot of people, that are out of the workforce and are not working. But I hope and pray this economy gets stronger and grows and more people have not only jobs but also better paying jobs. But I'm waiting for it to come in a report of some kind, and I haven't seen it yet. Last month was February was terrific, but we did not repeat that in March. But Kevin, thanks. I got to get out of here, but I appreciate the call. One man, comment line banned. Because the market, it was down over 700. I'm trying to give you the sugarcoat version of this. It finished down 572 points. That was 200 points better than where it had been. Down 572, the Dow at 23,932. The S&P down 58, the NASDAQ down 161. Price of oil, $61 a barrel, and gold will cost you $1,336 for 1 ounce of gold. On the comment line, this caller doesn't know why people worship politicians either.
Yeah, they treat these politicians like gods, people like Trump and Putin and Kim El Jung and stuff, and they ain't gods. Strand them out in the middle of the desert, they wouldn't do no better than anybody else.
I don't like most politicians, that's just me. This caller says I have it all wrong.
Tom, I'm married to a high school English teacher. You don't know what you're talking about, and you sound like a fool when you do that. I agree with you most of the time, but you've got to know your material.
Send me what the material is that I don't know what I'm talking about. I think maybe you have a different view being a teacher than the rest of the world. We'll see you Monday.